Can a survey change the future? Maybe this one can. Cannabis education is inconsistent at best and missing or misleading at worst. How can we make cannabis education better? What if we ask people who use or are thinking about using cannabis a bunch of questions? What if we ask pharmacists who could be teaching people about cannabis a bunch of questions? And then, what if the answers from those questions were used to help pharmacists teach people about cannabis better? Well, this is exactly what pharmacists as cannabis educators, or PACE, are doing. And PACE needs you to fill out a survey. PACE needs as many people as possible to fill out a survey. PACE needs you to fill out a survey on or before May 12th. This is a limited time offer for you to help change the future of cannabis education. To participate, go to promo.reefermed.ca. That's promo, P-R-O-M-O dot reefermed.ca.
When people got together, joints were passed around.
Marijuana is a drug with potential health impact.
I have never seen a cannabis overdose.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk.
Yeah, we're back.
Hello, how are you? You were telling me you were waiting for a tow truck the other day?
Oh, that story still isn't over. So we'll start with the good news. My son is okay. His car is okay. But his car, as we speak, is still currently in a ditch, and I'm waiting for a tow truck to be dispatched from a town 2 hours away for reasons I don't quite understand. But anyway, yeah, we spent some time reading a really good cannabis book, which is going to come up in future episodes, called The Cannabis Cancer Connection. Well, sitting in a truck, waiting for a tow truck that turned out wasn't coming. Anyway,
so icy roads,
details,
icy roads,
mental
you guys
winter.
Hit the ditch?
He hit the ditch. He came back from Winnipeg for the long weekend and went for a little drive down some gravel roads, which turned out to be way icier than he thought, and he just gently slid into the ditch.
Gently slid into the ditch. It's not like we haven't done that in our youth, eh?
No, but maybe smarter, I don't know. He said, well, just tow me out, Dad. Well, A, I'm going to rip something off of his car. And B, I don't have a winch on my truck. There's like zero traction. There's no way I was going to be able. Anyway, long and the short of it, we'll wait for a professional to remove him properly from the ditch and hopefully not rip anything off of his vehicle.
I'm glad he's okay. So we have a pretty much a local episode today. We have a local LP just starting up in Dauphin, and they're into extractions. Do you want to give a little bit of an intro?
Sure. So most of the speaker is going to be Richard Spatola. He is a fascinating dude who, just because, you know, everything has to start with an interesting story. You know, I got a sudden phone call at the pharmacy one day from a very excited person on the other end of the line. Like, I wasn't at first sure what he was excited about, because, you know, usually when people phone me at the pharmacy is because something has gone wrong and it's something I have to fix. But no, this was someone who really wanted to talk to me about cannabis stuff. And I've talked to Alan Campbell, you know, Alan Campbell, right? And just kept going, who are you? What are you talking about? Anyway, the who are you? What are you talking about? Turned out to be Richard Spatola. And we ended up at a local restaurant, Mr. Mike's, and had a nice meal and chatted with him a bit to sort of hear his story and what he's all about and what he's doing. So do we want to sort of have that lead into the first part of our conversation?
Sure, yeah. So we're sitting at Mr. Mike's, and I bring out my phone and say, well, let's start this interview, because you truly are an interesting dude. And so, yeah, let's listen to our conversation sitting at Mr. Mike's.
So my name is Onofrio Henry Richard Spatola. The reason I go by Richard is, back when I was a kid, you couldn't be Italian in Toronto. So I got to experience a whole bunch of different sides of T.O., some good, some bad. So met Chris Fedorovich, 5 or 6 years ago. We started talking on the phone for a mutual friend of ours, Ann Barnes. Ann Barnes was the first federal license issued under, what was her brand? Peace Naturals. So, huge facility just up outside of Wasaga Beach, Ontario. So Chris and I got talking. He informed me about what he was doing with harvesting. To me, it was really interesting. I love the fact that he was converting cannabinoids into powders. He knew that I was an extractor. I knew that he was a grower. We kind of fit together really well. So one thing led to another. I was looking for LPs in Ontario to partner up and or purchase. So little did I know, even a distressed LP in Ontario is somewhere between $15 and $20 million. Needless to say, at my age, I wasn't about to jump into that one. And there was other varying factors that led me to leave Ontario. Anyway, October, we come to Dauphin. Chris and I had been talking for several months about coming out here. Came out, we went and looked at the facility, Al Campbell's place, Organican as it's named, and realized, yeah, I could make this work, but, you know, we've got to turn it into the proper LP. So we found some funding, and off we went. There's CO2 extraction equipment in there. There's my solventless equipment in there. So two separate labs, two different ways of looking at the extraction methods. And again, as I've reiterated to you, I'm not a fan of recreational, although I have nothing against rec. For me, it's all about medical. Where do you want to go?
Oh.
I can talk for hours. Tell me which way you want to go.
Well, I guess let's describe what business you've moved into Dauphin.
I've moved into Dauphin, yeah. Tracy Urie is looking after me, so she found me a place to live that's furnished. All my furniture is in two sea cans in Collingwood, Ontario. So I have the clothes on my back, and that's about it.
Okay, and so what is your business? Let's describe your business.
So my business is extracting solventless formulations for the medical industry in cannabis.
So are you making shatter? Or are you
No, shatter. You require the utilization of ethanol to make shatter. I can't even say I make tinctures. I make oils.
Oils.
I make infused oils.
Okay, so you're using cannabis oil as your base, or are you using
MCT as my carrier.
Okay.
And I'm infusing it with different cannabinoids and different formulations of cannabinoids.
Okay, right on. And you've been doing this since October?
Here since October. I've been doing this for the last, 15 years.
Okay.
And I've been in the cannabis industry for about 27 years.
Okay, as a grower?
As a grower, as an extractor, yes.
Okay.
As an advocate.
Okay, so you were saying you're using hemp and marijuana components.
Correct.
So can you give us an insight to the different cannabinoid derivatives you're getting?
Yeah, so I find with Chris's harvest, and the harvest is an LN2 harvest, primarily you end up with CBGA, and then you can convert that to CBG, and his product is actually very high in CBD, because that's what it's grown for. And when we send it out for testing, his product always comes back 10, 11, 12%. And then when I extract it, I get it up to the 30%.
You're squeezing 30%?
Out of CBD. Amazing.
Out of a plant, you're getting, wow.
Yeah, but remember, Chris is doing the hard part, right?
Right,
he's using
growing.
The LN2, he's
yeah.
growing,
yeah.
he's harvesting with LN2. So in essence, he's already compounded it.
Okay. Can you explain LN2?
Liquid nitrogen.
Right,
so
okay.
In the field, he's cutting off the heads
yeah.
of the cannabis.
And freezing it.
It goes into a bath, and then from a bath, it goes into a sieve, and then it's shaken, and then you've got this powder.
Okay, so that's because Kirk likes to talk about this. So as soon as you sort of cut down, whether it's hemp, cannabis, doesn't matter, it starts to
degrade.
Right.
Absolutely.
So this is absolutely.
And this isn't a trade secret?
Not yet, it's not.
No,
but we're the only ones doing it.
Okay, because...
No, because people like Praxair know what we're doing.
They're doing it.
They've been wanting to buy us out for a while.
Well, that's right. Is that coming from HempSense as well? Are they involved with this?
HempSense is not involved in this.
Not involved.
This is
okay.
Fedorovich Farms.
Okay, all right. So you guys are extracting the hemp heads, you're freezing them, getting them, and then shaking the powder, and then you take that powder...
And I do a solventless extraction. I utilize time, temperature, pressure in the vessel that I have.
And then you, on the other side, you have a marijuana process going the same way?
Correct.
So is it also frozen coming to you as powder?
No.
It's just coming to you
as cannabis.
As cannabis flower.
Correct. Okay, are you getting the whole plant? Are you doing the whole plant?
Everything for me is whole plant, full spectrum. I don't believe in isolations. I don't believe in trying to separate things. I strongly believe in the entourage effect.
Okay.
Now, I've noticed when you remove the ethanol, so when you remove the hydrocarbon from the chain that you have with the molecules in cannabis, when you remove that hydrocarbon, our uptake under conventional extraction is about 2 to 4%. Remove the hydrocarbon, the uptake is somewhere around 20%. So I don't need 30% THC.
Right.
10% will put you on your ass.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the great part about it. Our body recognizes when there's ethanol involved, it recognizes it as a poison.
Okay.
So it tries to protect us, so therefore your uptake is minimal. When you remove that hydrocarbon, the uptake is up in the 20s because there's no toxicity. And that's the whole ideology behind what we're doing, is remove the toxicity. I want to help 60, 70, 80-year-olds. There's no sense blasting an 80-year-old with a toxic product, especially if they're fighting something like a cancer, right? Because they're already getting toxicity from what they're fighting.
So your plant, you've got the formulation.
Yep.
You've got your solvent, not your solvent, sorry.
Solventless.
Solventless.
Right.
But you've got your oil.
Yes.
So what do you do with that oil? What kind of products will come out of the other door?
Okay, so if I wanted to convert that oil into something other than the oil, but I recommend the oil because it's easier to formulate, easier to dose. Dosage becomes the issue here. But anyway, you can make gummies. You can make gum. I've been known to make strips. You remember the Lavora strips?
Yes.
Well, we infused them back when I was with Instadose, and it hit the market strong and hard. Only problem was it was hard to control a sheet of Mylar that's 2.5 feet by 4 feet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take that equipment, bring it back here, and I'm going to perfect it. I mean, I thought the strips were wonderful, but it was all THC, right? We were all playing around back in the day. So I want to do one-to-one, or I want to do straight CBD, CBDA, CBG on a strip.
So you are...
You can do vapes. You can do all kinds of shit, bro. Like, this will lend itself to anything you want to do. Like, it's smokable if you want to. I mean, if you vape, fill your vape cartridge with that oil.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Right.
And it doesn't burn the pot. It doesn't burn the coil.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know why it doesn't burn the coil?
Tell us why.
No ethanol.
Right. Okay, that just makes a bit of sense.
Yeah. So what happens when you burn alcohol?
It burns real hot.
It degrades, right? Yeah.
So you're an LP now. You're a licensed producer in Manitoba.
Yes.
And
Organican is the license.
Yes.
And ABC, or Alterna Botanical Compounds, is the JV, the joint venture.
How far away are you from having something on the shelf?
We're ready to go.
So when do you think you'll be able to sell it from your door? You think that there's a farm gate coming to Manitoba?
I believe there is. The people that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to consultants, so, you know,
yeah.
I'm getting various opinions. They tell me end of the year. So we've geared up. We sent in our application to amend our LP, and we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're essentially one of the newest LPs in Manitoba.
We are. Yes. We
okay.
are.
Very cool.
I'm a pharmacist, we call them case studies, but tell us about a couple people who take your stuff and it helped this because of that.
Oh, certainly. Okay, just right off the hop, I just wanted to let you guys know, the canine formula with advanced aging dogs is absolutely fabulous. I had a 20-year-old Shih Tzu, and his vet controlled him from the age of 16 on. His vet in Ontario, Wayne Cole, he and I worked together to get the right formulations for his size. I mean, Camino was 22 pounds. But, brother, it extended his life by 4 years. So, and again, other dogs, Al Campbell's dog,
right?
Sonny.
Okay.
He started going on it, and within 4 days, there was a big change in him, right? Little tail wagging, walking around, being happy. You can really see it in the canine formulations. Humans, obviously the mandate is pain control, but depending on the formulation, post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression, and we all know, Trevor, you of all people would know this, right? Anxiety when not checked becomes depression. Depression when not checked becomes suicide, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of doctors that once they classified you as chronic, it's like, that's the end. Now I can't help you. And I don't think that's right. I mean, I was diagnosed as chronic. I'm like, really? Now what do I do? Well, take Dilaudid. Well, you know, couple that with Percocet. Couple that with, what's that other one? Oxycodone. Like, holy shit, man. I'd go to the pharmacy, come back with a small shopping bag. Like, this guy, my pharmacist would say to me, oh, no, that's going to kill you, right? Like, you got to do something different. And he was right.
So, okay, so Richard invites us to the LP. Now, basically, Alan Campbell, I know Alan because he's a beekeeper, right? South of town was a huge apiary, used to thousands of hives, which are now out in British Columbia. And he has opened up his building to become a hemp cannabis extraction plant. So that's what we walk into. All right, so you own the building that this
facility
that's involved. So introduce yourself and tell me your story.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm Alan Campbell. I do own the place. We used to operate it as a different business. And
used to be a bee farm.
Used to be a bee farm, yeah. And we've moved the bees out west now, and they're doing a different job. So we're looking at moving this forward with Richard.
Okay, so how long has it been a facility for hemp?
3 years now.
Okay, and now it's sort of going a little faster.
Now we're starting to speed things up.
And what is your vision of this place? What is it you hope to see happen?
I would really like to see this the driver for solventless.
Okay.
And I think that is the key to the whole kingdom, really, with cannabis, I guess.
Yeah, so now I could be having this wrong, but I'm going to give you my two cents of how I think stuff works in there. And I've been doing some reading. We've been talking to Richard a few times. And so I'll see if I've got it right. And if I don't, I'm sure Richard will tell us and we'll add in some corrections. But so the first key part of their thing is when the flower, the head, the bud gets cut off the hemp plant, it is first flash frozen in liquid nitrogen. And for those of you who didn't play with liquid nitrogen in high school, university, that's like minus 196 degrees C. So if you've ever seen the famous experiment, you take a rose, you dunk it in liquid nitrogen, put it on the table, you can hit it with a hammer and it shatters. So that is what the whole head is being dropped into. So that hopefully preserves everything in the trichome before, because as Kirk has mentioned on previous hemp episodes, things start to degrade as they compost, like almost immediately. So this sort of preserves everything right there as it is. And then from there, they can use the basically flash frozen heads to get the trichomes out, the little light bulb shaped crystalline things that have all the good stuff, all the cannabinoids, all the terpenoids, all the flavonoids are all in these little trichomes, and that forms this keef, this powder that we talk about a couple times during the tour. So you have this powder, this keef, these liquid nitrogen extracted trichomes, and now you want to do something with it. So the traditional thing is to use a solvent to get what you want out of there. So the example I'm going to use is, if you took a bunch of salt and a bunch of sand and mixed it together and you want to get just the salt out, you put in a solvent, water, it'll dissolve the salt. You sieve it, you filter it, you get the sand on one side and the water on the other, and then you evaporate off the water and what you're left with is the salt. You've now separated the salt from the sand. That's what a solvent does in organic stuff too. So a common one, and one that has been used in Richard's facility, is CO2. So if you remember, CO2 at room temperature is a gas. Can't use that as a solvent. If you cool it down to -79 C, it turns into a solvent, dry ice. You can't use that as a solvent. But if you have some fancy machines, you take it to 31 degrees C and 73 atmospheres. So 73 times the pressure we're all sitting around in right now, you turn it into this supercritical fluid, this really dense fluid that can go through the organic stuff and pull out what you want. So let's say you want to pull out CBD, it could pull that out. And then you just let it go back to room temperature, and the CO2 goes away. So that should be very clean, but Richard, as we'll talk about in a bit, says you need to use some ethanol somewhere in that process, and you never really get the ethanol back out, and Richard talks about how that's not good, but we'll get farther to that. So that's CO2 extraction. Richard doesn't like CO2 extraction, and he'll talk about why. So Richard is doing solventless extraction. So he's taking, so we're back to this keef, these trichomes, and he's putting it in another machine that, like he says, all he controls is time, temperature, and pressure. And I could have this really wrong, but the way I'm picturing it is he's adjusting the pressure and the temperature to sort of say because cannabinoids are semi-liquid, semi-solid. So I think he's changing it so he can get sort of a liquid CBD and remove that. And he's changing it again to get like a liquid CBG and removing that. I'm not 100% certain. Honestly, at that point, he loses me a few times. And if we have it wrong, we can be corrected, or maybe it's a super secret process that I didn't quite understand. So that's sort of how I understood what was going on in there.
Okay. It was like a great big science laboratory. We were walking through basically three different rooms. The sound's not great quality. I'd like to pull a couple quotes out that Richard was explaining things a little bit more involved for us. Okay, so you said, Trevor, that that Richard doesn't like solvent extractions. He likes solvent lists. So this is how he explained it to us about why he likes the solvent list extraction.
Why solvents? So number one, I mean, ethanol to our systems is seen as a poison, right? So what happens when you and I drink too much vodka? We end up with a hangover. Okay. Why do we end up with a hangover?
Okay.
It's because it's poison to us. So our system on uptake, because everything is about uptake, right? It's about how much of that cannabinoid can I uptake. Conventionally, when a product is made with ethanol, your uptake is maximum 4%. When you take the hydrocarbon out of the issue, your uptake can be as much as 25 to 30%. Okay. So you need very, very little to get an effect on a solvent.
Okay.
Okay? So our body doesn't see it as a poison. It sees it as something that's water-based, that our bodies, they want water.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is why the whole apparatus of solventless extraction becomes critical when you're looking at it from a medical point of view.
So we're standing in front of what I thought was a big pressure cooker. And he explains about how he decarbs the keef, and then it goes into this apparatus. So let's hear how he explains how he uses negative pressure to extract the cannabinoids he wants.
So in a nutshell, PCL, right? The controller. That's the vessel. These are the filtration columns. And we use that oven right at the moment for decarboxylation. So you take that keef, you decarboxylate it.
So it goes in the oven?
Goes in the oven, decarb. We decarb specifically time and temperature for different cannabinoids that we want to capture.
Okay.
So it's then loaded through that funnel right there. It's a pressure cooker. I mean, I can change pressures. So it'll allow me to go down 20 inches. Okay. Of negative pressure, I don't go positive pressure. All I want is negative pressure because negative pressure affects temperature.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So physics? The lower the pressure, the less temperature I have to use to get the cannabinoid to shift. Time, temperature, pressure. That's all I've got to work with. By affecting time, temperature, and pressure within the vessel, I can collect different cannabinoids. Or I can force the powder to convert to different cannabinoids that I want to harvest.
All right, so now what I found the most fun I had in the day is when we stumbled upon the hash in the fridge.
Yes. We didn't quite know what we were looking at.
No, we kind of, I mean, it's funny to listen to it now. It sounds like just a couple idiots who open a fridge and there's this great big bag of sand, which actually turns out to be something else. So this made me laugh. So let's listen to us learn about... the product of harvest, I guess, eh? All right, so we're in the lab, I guess, and we're opening up a big fridge. What do we got?
So this is LN2 harvested trichome. Liquid nitrogen is the bath that this trichome has gone through.
Okay.
Then goes through a series of sieves, then through a drying oven, and into a finished product.
So we're looking at a garbage bag, a large garbage bag of sand.
Open
it looks like
up.
Sand. You want to open that up, Trevor?
I'm opening that up.
And it's like
really fine brown sugar or
a flour.
Or flour, like sort of a...
Okay. So what I'm looking at
smells
is...
Smells fantastic.
Yeah, it smells fantastic.
CBD.
So that's CBD. And that is a hemp product that was harvested in a field.
Correct.
The flowers were cut off.
The heads were cut off, yeah.
Immediately frozen.
Correct. And
then bashed and battered and made into
sieve. It goes through what do you call that thing?
Like a trommel?
Thank you. It's exactly like a trommel.
Okay. Yeah. It's a sandwich bag.
Decarboxylated and smaller.
But it's CBD.
Yes.
Okay. So how many plants would that represent?
That?
Yeah.
Maybe one.
One plant.
Yeah.
So it's a Glad sandwich bag.
Ziploc sandwich bag.
Looks like a bag of sand.
Size of Trevor's hand.
Okay. And that is a CBD. So this is CBD
dominant. So CBD and all the other cannabinoids that sit with it. So there'd be some CBG, there'd be CBDA, obviously. There'd be CBN. And a modicum of THC, you know, but it would be under 0.05.
It looks like hash. That's what it is. It just looks like hash.
Well, yeah.
It's what it is. It's the hash.
Well, we call it keef.
Keef.
Hey.
Okay.
There we go.
We've got
CBD keef in our hands.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And got that way by getting really, really cold through liquid nitrogen.
Very cool. And so where does that take us now in the process? So that, you want to put that back?
You can take keef. So that becomes... This, in essence, is something that Chris and I have been working on for, 6 years now. We figured this is the future of cannabis harvesting and processing.
Okay, and this is a patent thing, right? This is a patent process.
Well, I've spoken with people. They're working on the IP of it. Would it be patented? We think it will. The only problem is, anytime you deal with cannabinoids, apparently they tell you you can't have patents on.
Interesting. It's a process, though. It's a process.
That's the process.
Okay.
This is trichomes, cannabis. You can't write a whatchamacallit.
Okay. So this is keef, and that bag, that big garbage bag, is also keef.
Yes.
Okay. So from this, what do you do with it?
So, like we promised, Richard is a fascinating dude, and although our sound wasn't fantastic on the tour, I hope you got sort of a sense of. And now, it also wasn't just us wandering through a facility. This was a very secure facility. There was, you know, locked doors everywhere, and we couldn't go anywhere without Richard. And they weren't really in production. They were there testing, sort of. So this isn't a fully functional, fully licensed place yet. So it really wasn't just two idiots wandering through a through a facility. We did have handlers and minders and locked doors everywhere, so we're not trying to get them in trouble.
No, it was, I found it really interesting. And Dauphin now has a grower in town doing boutique growing in a specially designed building for cannabis. We now have an extractor in town. We have a podcast in Dauphin. We have three stores in Dauphin. We're pretty much a cannabis town. Maybe there's cannabis tourism coming to Dauphin soon.
Everybody should come and, you know, listen to the podcast, come check out the three stores, and who knows, maybe if they'll... Things loosen up a bit, they'll be allowed to do tours of the boutique grow-op and the cannabis extraction facility.
Yeah, and we also have a young lady that's making hemp jewelry, Tamara, who is known in the community, and she's making hemp jewelry, so I figured I'd give her a little opportunity to promote her little business. And so let's listen to Tamara talk about hemp jewelry.
Here's Tamara.
Hi, my name is Tamara, and my business name is Jewelry by Tam. I make hemp type of material because it's durable and pretty, and it lasts longer. And I use square knots to make the material. And recycled jewelry and beads to make it look like a piece of jewelry.
Cool. So you make bracelets?
keychains and necklaces.
Okay, out of hemp into and macrame, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. And where do you sell them?
Craft sales on my Facebook page called Jewelry by Tam, hemp jewelry on Instagram, friends, family, people who want to buy one because I do prices $5, $10 for necklaces, keychains $5.
Okay, very cool. All right, thank you. So, as always, Trevor, all this stuff will be on our webpage. I've got pictures of the plant that we've been allowed to post. So some of the equipment we saw, we'll put on the webpage. I have a link to Tamara's little business on the webpage. I've been doing a lot of work on our webpage. If you go to our homepage, clinics, on social media, people have asked for our poster. So I've updated our poster with a QR code on the bottom of it. People can go to our homepage and download our poster. You can put it in your clinic. So if you are a practitioner of cannabis, you can put our poster in there. If you are selling cannabis at a rec shop or in the States, if you're selling medical cannabis out of your shop. If you want your clients and customers and patients to get the best information about cannabis in a podcast, it's Reefer Medness, the podcast. I am the registered nurse. I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse.
I'm Trevor Schufeld. I'm the pharmacist.
And you can find us at reefermed.ca, a very dynamic little webpage. And also there's blogs on there, and there's new blogs coming. And reefermed.ca, you should check us out. We're pretty much in the center of the continent.
pretty much. You've mentioned that one before.
Hey, you should check us out.
All right, see everybody later.
Well, that was another good one, guys. Way to go. It's Renee here back in the studio just to finish off with a couple of final things. One thing we always like to do is to acknowledge that we produce our shows on Treaty 2 territory and the homeland of the Métis. We also pay our respects to the First Nations and Métis ancestors of this land as we reaffirm our relationships. And we also like to honor a request from our guest, and Richard had asked to hear I Will Survive by Cake, so that's what we'll do. Have a good one, everyone.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
First I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong, I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here without that look upon your face. I should have changed my fucking lock. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go walk out the door. Just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, not I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Of my broken heart, and I spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry, But now I hold my head up high and you see me with somebody new. I'm not that stupid little person still in love with you. And so you thought you'd just drop by and you expect me to be free. But now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Oh, now go walk out the door. Just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, not I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Yeah, yeah.
I guess people should check us out until next time.